Now, this is Thanksgiving Sunday, as you have been told, and we are preparing for Thanksgiving Day, but I have a question for you. Did you ever notice how in life, sometimes things just seem to go from bad to worse? You know, you think that you have, that it has gotten as bad as it could get. And then, oh no, the bottom falls out. Suddenly, it is so many more times worse than you ever thought it could be. Been there? Done that, right? Mm-hmm. Just once, okay. Well, that is where we find dear old Moses in the passage of Scripture that Frank read to you just a moment ago. Things were looking bad for Moses. You remember several weeks ago we talked about it. The rabble, the non-Hebrews in the group, had begun to grumble and complain about the provision of God. They had in them no thanksgiving. And then the Hebrews began to grumble and complain about the provision of God. They had in them no thanksgiving. Then there was open rebellion amongst the 70 elders of the people. The two rebelling had in them no thanksgiving. Certainly, from Moses' perspective, things had gone from bad to worse, to worser, and to still worser yet. I don't know whether that's a word or not, but it gets the meaning across. But my spell check would not check that one. But for Moses, it was still not as bad as it was going to get. Now, you might well ask yourself what God was up to while things were falling apart for Moses. I mean, Moses was God's chosen man, right? The Holy Spirit was upon him. He moved under the authority of God. He had a relationship with God like no one else on the face of the earth. God spoke to him face to face. So what was God doing, folks, while things were falling apart for Moses? And there are a couple of observations that I would make about that this morning. You ready? Observation number one, God never left Moses. Oh, sometimes we think that isn't the way it is, don't we? When things are gone from bad to worse, when life's getting harder and harder, when we have trouble upon trouble, we so often conclude that God has given, I want to say it differently, that God has given up on us. We sometimes think that he went on vacation, has gone bye-bye. But God never leaves us, nor does he ever forsake us. In fact, when it gets rougher, God draws closer to us. Though things are not going well for Moses, folks, God remained with him. And today, all of us gathered here in this place, God's children around the world, can be thankful because God is with us even in life's rough spots. Yeah. And observation number two, God held his anger in check. Though there was open rebellion in the camp about the provision of God, an open complaint about the gift of God, though this was how it was, and the men that God had chosen to help Moses were in open rebellion against Moses, and therefore, by the way, against the plan of God, not to mention that, but God still didn't burn anybody to a crisp. It's true that some of them got sick on the provision of God, the meat he sent that they ate after it putrefied, and some of them even died because of that. But in general, God was peaceful and calm and answering prayers. And we can be thankful today. All of us here and God's children around the world can give thanks because God is slow to wrath and holds back his hand. If it were not so, there'd be a lot of crispy Christians. But as I said, for Moses, things were going from bad to worse. In the passage, which Frank just read to you today, it says that Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. Now, for the record, Miriam was Moses' sister. And Aaron was Moses' brother. So the opposition had moved from the edge of the camp, the outside of Israel, to being among the people of Israel, to being within the leadership group of Israel, to the members of Moses' own family. It had gone from bad to worse to worser yet. Now, observation number three, catch this one. Grumbling and complaining is contagious. So, if you are not doing it, don't start. And if you are doing it, stop it now. Satan moves in it. And through it, he brings evil things to our world. But now, the grumbling and the complaining, had spread to Moses' very own family. Now I want you to notice what it was that Miriam and Aaron complained about. They objected because Moses' wife was a Cushite. Hold on. I'm glad he said what. It's like, what? Okay, I mean, get the inflection right. Now, just so you understand, this could have been a complaint against Moses' wife Zipporah, for she was the daughter of Jethro, who was a Midianite. Now, the word Cushite indicates a woman who was not a Hebrew. And if you remember the story, years before any of this took place, Moses had wandered out in the wilderness and had met this lovely Cushite woman, Midianite woman, Zipporah, and he had married her and brought her home to the family. If it was indeed a reference, if it is a reference to Zipporah, Aaron and Miriam had been complaining about this woman for years. Okay, 4 years. Okay, now some scholars say that it was not Zipporah that they were complaining about, that it was an objection raised to Moses' second wife. For when Zipporah died, Moses married again in his old age, and he married a woman who was not a Hebrew. Now, we're leaving go all of this not marrying outside of your faith stuff. Okay, but what I want you to know is that Miriam and Aaron are complaining because Moses' wife, whoever which one, didn't suit them. And we don't know which one because both women were not Hebrew. So Miriam and Aaron objected because Moses had married outside of his faith. Okay? All right? But, now catch this. The presenting issue is the nationality of Moses' wife. The presenting issue. Okay? But as is most often the case in things, the presenting issue is not the real issue. It's not the thing that's really stewing under the surface. It's not really what they are grumbling and complaining about. The real issue most often is deeper than the things that are going on the surface. The real issue was not Moses' wife. The text makes it clear. As verse 2 reveals to us, the real issue was jealousy. Miriam and Aaron were not getting the recognition that they thought they deserved as Israel's leaders. They actually accused Moses of being arrogant. As verse 3 says, and as the story shows us, they accused Moses of being arrogant, but Moses was more humble than any man on the face of the earth. I just need to do a side here. There is a current theology being spread by the media that Moses was a mean, nasty man. Okay. In fact, in one of the latest movie renditions of Moses, they show him carrying a sword and he's like out to get people. The scripture says Moses was the most humble man on the face of the earth. Grab hold of the truth, folks, and throw away the lying record. Okay? All right. He's the most humble man on the face of the earth. Now, I want you to understand again, things had gone from bad to bad to worse to worser yet, but they were still not as bad as they could get. It was at that moment that God intervened. He may be slow to anger, folks, but he will not always chide. When you push God too hard, he will intervene. So the Bible says that God summoned Moses and Miriam and Aaron to a meeting. It was to be a face-to-face showdown at the tent. And at that meeting, God came down in person. The cloud which led the people of Israel through the wilderness settled down over the three. And in that cloud, there was what theologians call a theophany. Literally, those three human beings were sucked into the presence of the Holy Father, not the Pope, God himself. And in that cloud, God confronted Miriam and Aaron with their sin. Literally, God reminded them that he was God and that he could and would do as he could and would do without reference to such as them. It's sort of hard to take every now and then when God says, hey, look, I'm going to do it my way. I don't care what you think. He told them that he would speak through the one he had chosen to speak through, and that they needed to be extremely careful about what they said and what they did when it came to the personality of the one God had chosen to speak through. He told them not to speak in opposition to his anointed leader, Moses, any longer. And then God showed his judgment upon them. He released his wrath. For when the cloud lifted and God departed the meeting, Miriam was leprous. In modern terms, she was stricken with a flesh-eating disease. Now you might want to ask, why only Miriam? Why didn't he get Aaron too? I mean, after all, he was joining in, right? And what I can tell you is that if you were reading the text in Hebrew, you would find the secret revealed in the language. The verbs in this passage of Scripture are all singular feminine verbs written to indicate to us that Miriam was the one who was leading the rebellion against Moses. She was the one stricken because she was the one behind, I think secretly behind, but nonetheless behind what was happening. Are you ready? Some more observations. Observation number four, you can't hide from God. Well, you may think you can, but he knows. Observation number five, God holds us accountable. You're getting away with nothing. He knows. Observation number six, God calls people to special positions within his church. Moses had been called to a special place of service. He was chosen by God to lead the people of God. And God warns us to be careful to respect those he has chosen. But when Moses, the arrogant leader of Israel, saw the condition in which God left his sister, arrogant Moses cried out to God, "Oh God, please heal her." Can I tell you the truth? This is what makes Moses a true man of God. Miriam was, in essence, moving against him. She was making his life difficult. Things had gone to the bottom of the power. Pile was as bad as it could get. Miriam hurt Moses deeply, for she cried out, criticizing his wife. But Moses, not arrogant Moses, the most humble man on the first face of the earth, still prayed that God would forgive her and remove the curse which had fallen on her flesh, which she deserved. He prayed that God would heal her. I hear the words in my head. Pray for those who despitefully use you and do bad things to you. Bless those who curse you. Forgive those who sin against you. Love even your enemies. How could Moses know such things? For this is the teaching of the New Testament. This is how we are taught by the Word of God to behave. And yet this was the model of great Moses. He prays to God to heal his stricken sister, even as she stood there in open opposition to him. Folks, Miriam, the sister of Moses, was judged and cursed. She suffered the judgment of God for 7 entire days. She was shut out of the camp and was leprous for the entire time. But God answered Moses' prayers. The text tells us that the disease was lifted and she was restored. Observation number 7 for today. God answers prayer. Today, we can be thankful. Because even when life has gotten hard, and things have gone from bad to worse, and maybe even gotten as bad as they can be, still, God answers prayer.